I'm confused by it. Interested, intrigued, fascinated. Right? I could use a lot of different terms. That's what that story evokes in me when I hear it. I mean, it's got all the everything you would want on a great UFO story, right? Secret crash UFO crash site from the 40s, but not Roswell. Being blindfolded, finding actual materials that you dug up. A Stanford professor is joined at the last minute, right? You're going with this NASA official that's taking you out there claiming that he's been maintaining this site for decades, that it's been passed down to him. I mean, that's an intriguing story, right? There's a lot going on there. And someone who's kind of secretive, right? It's told in the book American Cosmic. So it's kind of this, even the person taking them out there is not wanting their name to be public. So yeah, it's got everything you would want in a great story, so it's intriguing.
We are Area 51 Coffee Company. Coffee for regular humans and coffee with twice the caffeine of a typical cup, with a buzz that's out of this world. Coffee connoisseurs from across the galaxy seek out our smooth brew with a hint of sweetness in a perfect roast. Area51CoffeeCo.com. You will also be assimilated with our Area 51 merchandise. We are invading Earth one cup at a time. We are Area 51 Coffee Company. Area51CoffeeCo.com.
We know now that in the early years of the 20th century, this world was being watched closely by intelligences greater than man's.
Did the CIA write Wind of Change by the Scorpions?
As humans busied themselves about the various concerns, they were scrutinized and studied.
Dr. Loeb, what percentage chance do you give it that you have indeed uncovered extraterrestrial or non-human technology?
With infinite complacence, people went about their affairs, yet across an immense ethereal gulf, intellects vast and unsympathetic drew their plans against us.
Prior to your abduction, did you believe in UFOs or any sort of alien life form?
All things unexplained.
So some of that, I think, sir, we'll save for closed session.
Hello, all you unexplained ones. Thank you for joining us. This is CJ Derringer, and you are listening to the All Things Unexplained podcast. I'm here with my co-host. I've got Dr. Tim Mounts as well as Smitty Neves, and we are so lucky to be joined by a very special guest this evening. His name is Patrick from the Vetted podcast. We have been following him for a long time now. He has a very popular show covering all things about the UFO phenomenon. Thank you so much for joining us, Patrick.
Yeah. Pleasure to be here. Oh, yeah, please, guys. Please, please. Let me.
A warm welcome. A warm welcome in these parts.
No, thanks for having me.
But we have lots that we want to cover tonight. And we recently had Diana Pasulka on our show. We did a deep dive with her into all of her books that she has released so far, including American Cosmic and Encounters. And we know that Patrick has been following along with her story. But before we dive into that, Patrick, give our listeners just a brief overview of what it is that you do on your show.
Yes, first of all, pleasure to be here. All Things Unexplained. Hit that like button, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Great intro, by the way. Holy cow. Really love that. Yeah, my show is pretty simple. Every day, 12 p.m. Central Standard Time, we talk UFOs, right? I keep it pretty simple. I try to condense what's out there and just kind of bring some of the more pertinent stories every day to, you know, create a UFO town square. That's what I like to say. 12 p.m. every day, everyone meets in the comments and talks about what's going on. Keep it pretty simple. Do some interviews here and there. Nothing too crazy.
Yes, it's great. And it is simple for the listener and the viewer. But I know just based on watching your show that you yourself do a ton of work to pull that all together, because you're bringing in these really pertinent clips to what you're talking about, as well as interviews from other people. And you're really putting a lot of thought into what you're saying when you share it. So, and to put it out every single day, that's impressive.
Thank you.
You do
Thank
great
you,
work.
CJ. I appreciate that.
So go check out Patrick's show, Vetted. And yeah, let's dive right into Diana Pasulka. So she got really big recently after going on the Joe Rogan podcast. She was big before that too, but in terms of really going onto a global scale, I think that really thrust her into the limelight. And one of the things that everybody was very interested in was this concept that she was taken by a NASA official to a UFO crash site in New Mexico where they were looking for UFO debris, and her fellow scientist, or I guess she's not a scientist, she's a historian, but her scientist friend Gary Nolan was there. He took something back. They've reverse engineered it, tried to figure out what it is. What do you guys, all of each of you, make of this story that she went to this crash site? We've all been doing a lot of research on it now. What's your gut instinct on that story? And I'll start with you, Patrick.
Oh gosh, I was ready to hear everyone else's theories on the I'm confused by it. Interested, intrigued, fascinated, right? I could use a lot of different terms. That's what that story evokes in me when I hear it. It's got everything you would want on a great UFO story, right? Secret crash, UFO crash site from the 40s, but not Roswell, being blindfolded, finding actual materials that you dug up. A Stanford professor is joined at the last minute, right? You're going with this NASA official that's taking you out there, claiming that he's been maintaining this site for decades, that it's been passed down to him. I mean, that's an intriguing story, right? There's a lot going on there. And someone who's kind of secretive, right? It's told in the book American Cosmic. So it's kind of this, even the person taking them out there is not wanting their name to be public. So yeah, it's got everything you would want in a great story. So it's intriguing.
Yes. Tim, what was your initial thought when you heard it? Because you sent me this clip from Joe Rogan. You were like, listen to this and tell me your thoughts. Which is a daily occurrence, by the way. I wake up every day to these sorts of things.
You gotta see this. It's crazy, man. Life changing.
Several hours later, I'm usually like, did you watch the clip? Yeah. That I sent you? It's been pretty quiet over there. But no, I was so intrigued by her story. And one of the most intriguing aspects to me, and this was revealed later on in her book, Encounters, which, by the way, we're still encouraging everybody to go out and purchase their own copy of American Cosmic and Encounters. So we feel like we're past the point of spoilers, right? Okay, so, but fair warning, there are spoiler alerts here for American Cosmic and Encounters, but well worth the read, no matter what we say about them. But the intriguing part to me is that they're at this crash site from the 40s in New Mexico, but we're not talking about Roswell. And so I was so intrigued by that. And what we're talking about is the plains of San Augustine. And it took me quite a while to figure out exactly how to spell that. And the correct spelling, according to locals, is A-G-U-S-T-I-N. And so this place is really far out there. And it actually, once I realized that's where she was talking about, it made a lot of her story ring truer. Like when she talked about the fact that this NASA official or Space Force official blindfolded her and Gary Nolan, who we know, Gary Nolan is James from the book American Cosmic. I wondered to myself, I don't know if y'all thought the same thing, like, really? Do they really still blindfold people? You know, that seems like a kind of a weird James Bond type of villain thing to do. You know, does that really still happen? Don't they have cars where they can black out the windows where you can't even see outside? But as I researched into the plains of San Augustine, and somebody whose name I'd like to talk about more later, possibly by the name of Art Campbell, who, shout out to Art Campbell, who, he might be have passed away, I'm afraid. I can't really verify that. But he spent years out there digging in the desert, in the plains of San Augustine, and turns out it's very near the very large array. So this huge array of satellite dishes. We've seen this in the movie Contact. And by the way, have any of y'all seen the new show on Netflix, Three Body Problem?
Yeah.
No.
I'm actually watching it now.
Right, yeah, now, so, as we're doing this show, you are watching TV.
Yeah, well,
see his eyeballs. And,
you know, I got a little bored with Tim's answer, so I just got Netflix. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, well, so Three Body Problem, right? They're at a huge satellite dish from China back in the day. Anyway, it made a lot of sense to me that if you were going to keep it secret, where you were taking these people, that if they were allowed to see the very large array, then automatically, boom, they'd know where they were at. So that made her part of the story ring even truer to me. So I thought it was really intriguing that they were at the Plains of San Augustine. I recently just got back from a trip to Roswell, to the actual crash site. So I'm pretty into it, to say the least.
All right. Well, Smitty, you're a history teacher. You are a religious expert. Anybody knocking on your door to take you to a UFO crash site these days?
No. I can't even get anybody to take me to dinner. But I think that, like Mount said, there's some credibility lent to the fact that it wasn't Roswell to a certain extent. Because, you know, that's the Mecca. And this person seems to be working outside the usual box of information that's already flooded all UFOlogy up until this point in time. And to see the person, or how she describes him, is pretty amazing, really, of all the things that he was able to accomplish. And if it is completely 100% legitimate, it's pretty mind-boggling to me.
Yes, and we will get into who he is in a bit, because I know Patrick has spent some time digging into who this Tyler D is. And okay, so one thing that when she was on our show, we really wanted to talk to her a lot about the soul and angels and demons and what this might all mean. But she makes it very clear that her books are academic books. She does not put any of her own opinion into them. They're truly just stories that other people have shared with her. So she wasn't too comfortable talking about soul and angels and demons because she also has her own personal opinion on them and didn't want to cross over. But Tim, I know diving into the soul was something that you were really hoping to glimpse from her. Was there something specific you were hoping to learn from Diana when you were touching on that subject?
You know, there really was, because when you start talking about things like the soul, you really start touching on what we've heard a lot of lately, which is these disturbing aspects of the UFO phenomenon. Because when you start crossing the paths, and I do not think they're mutually exclusive, I think that they're bound together of religion and UFOlogy and the phenomenon. And when you start thinking about things like the soul and angels and demons, then you get into some pretty dark territory. You know, if we have a soul, then where did this soul come from? Where is it going after our death? What are these angels and demons? Where did they come from? This also carries the insinuation of races, right? Alien races. Angels and demons, no matter what religion you are otherworldly beings by definition. And obviously we're talking about different types of otherworldly beings by classifying them as angels and demons. So it does get into the theme or the notion of alien races. And we've heard people talk about, you know, some pretty dark stuff. Like even Bob Lazar mentioned that he heard, maybe it was a psyop, maybe not, that some of them are just using our bodies as containers for souls for some nefarious purpose. So it's some pretty deep stuff, and I really just wanted to know more about it.
Well, Smitty, as our resident religious expert, did you see any crossover in what she was talking about and just things that you have studied in the Bible in terms of souls, angels, demons, UFOs?
I really don't see any crossover personally, but, you know, that's the thing about it. It's kind of like Tim said that, you know, you have this different thoughts. You have one, UFOs might be some sort of type of demon entity that was left after the flood is one thing. Two, that they might actually be a separate creation, and if they exist. And then, of course, three, you know, they might be some kind of angelic. But my personal opinion, if they were to exist, and I'm still not, you know, 100% convinced of UFO existence or aliens. If they do, it would be some sort of separate creation because, you know, I don't know. It's a hard area to, and you know, I'm very religious. So it's a hard area to kind of tack down. But I do have a friend who is convinced that all of those things are some sort of demonic entity. And that's what people are seeing. And it's basically causing chaos and and taking away from people's faith. That's what he believes, you know. And so for her, I'm kind of like Diana. It's kind of a hard subject for me to breach just because of my faith.
Sure, it's hard to keep your personal.
You know, is it because can I just ask a question real quick? Is that okay?
Yes, jump in, Patrick.
Smitty, is it because, like, you know, man is created in God's image, so maybe like this idea that there would be this other being created in God's image or outside of his image, is that sort of what's the confliction is, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think so. And just the fact that if he did tell us all that he's told us, which he has, and obviously the Bible, why didn't he tell us
Correct.
That part? You know, why is that
Left
part
out.
Absent
yeah.
from all of everything else that we know about
sure.
him? And so for me, that's a very conflicting thing in my yeah. life to investigate this thing.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I've kind of kept this part of my life, believe it or not, and my other part of my life completely almost separate.
You don't tell other people about us, do you?
It depends on who the yeah. person is. I'll put it that way.
Well, also the Bible, right, was as a whole put together so that, like, let's say, for instance, the day of Pentecost, right, where, we need a way to understand each other, right, through language, right?
Right.
So, but then once the Bible, but you know, so we need tongues, we need speaking in tongues, we need certain things that are done during that time that after the Bible is completed, you don't need those things anymore because now the Word of God is in a book.
Exactly.
We don't need anything more than this. So your point about, okay, if it's not in this thing that God is saying, this is everything you need to know about me, I get your point, right? Like, it's not in that. So how can I trust this, essentially?
And you just summed up, you literally just summed up what I try to teach. I mean, about that part, in my opinion, is done as far as the, you know, speaking in tongues and those types of things, because it is, I mean, you got the Bible, you open it up. There's no, you know, you either believe it or you don't
yeah.
believe it.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's very profound that you said that, because it's basically
yeah.
the same level.
That's what I do, Smitty. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. No. And I appreciate you saying that.
One thing that I was trying to ascertain from Diana when we had her on the show was whether or not she thinks that religion and science are trying to explain the same thing. Does she believe that what they were talking about in the Bible and the phenomena that we're seeing now are the same? And I gathered from her that she did not think so. She did not think that it was the same. I don't know if anybody has any opinions on that.
I think it depends on which branch of science you're talking about. I mean, there are scientists who want to prove the existence
right.
of God.
Absolutely.
And there are those who want to prove that he doesn't exist. And there are those who want to prove that alien life forms exist. So, and they're all going about it different ways. I mean, that's what's kind of phenomenal about that show that Mounts is talking about, is because they're trying to reach out there to something beyond.
And they're all approaching it with their own ideas to start with. So they're looking for the answer that they want to see.
Yeah.
And that's challenging. And one thing that I see, Patrick, on your show, it seems like you are really just pulling in people's opinion, people's clips and things, and saying like, hey, let's talk about this. Let's talk about what this looks like without trying to put too much of your opinion on it, which is great. If anybody that is joining us live right now has any questions for us or for Patrick, please do put them in all caps. We would love to be able to pull your questions in at some point, and we will try to get to those a little bit later in the show. So thank you for joining us. All right. One other thing that was discussed a little bit was this idea of ancient alien encounters that have happened long ago. So Patrick, in your show, have you dove into this at all in terms of this idea of ancient aliens that have existed long before we started looking for them?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, because it's kind of is it its own thing, you know, subcategory? Yeah, I guess it could considered that. I actually haven't really dug into it too much, aside from a random comment someone might make in some sort of clip I'm showing, mm-hmm. but as a whole, no. And it is something I do want to get into. and start covering that. And even, you know, talking with Smitty about, you know, the Bible and the history of that, you know, that there's, it's believed, right, potentially that maybe stories from the Bible, they were misconstrued as being this, you know, creator or God, but actually it was these aliens, right? So that's intriguing, right? So that would technically be ancient mm-hmm. aliens as well. Ancient civilizations helped by aliens building pyramids, you know, all of that. It's super exciting. So I haven't dug into it, but I absolutely want to, like, for sure.
Yes. All of the theories.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Right? Ancient alien theorists say.
Yeah, I'm, yes. How do you become one of those, first of all?
Right? I know. I'm available yeah. in case the History Channel was looking.
Totally.
Tim, what was your take on this? On this idea of an ancient alien race?
Well, again, I think that some people look at the phenomenon as something that's really increased in intensity here lately, and maybe it has increased intensity. But I look at it as like, this has been around for thousands of years, folks. This is not the first time we've heard of people being abducted by UFOs, of UFOs being sent out to destroy entire towns, which happened in the Bible. So the Bible and ancient civilizations and clues around the world are chock full of evidence of encounters with otherworldly beings. And, you know, I have to say another interesting thing about Dana Pasulka for me is this. We have the utmost respected academic who tells the world that she's been taken out into the middle of the desert to a UFO crash retrieval site with one of the most respected scientists in the world, Dr. Gary Nolan from Stanford. Why isn't this a bigger deal? You know, this is why I think, part of why I think, if disclosure happened tomorrow, I don't know if people would really notice that much, you know? I don't know if they'd look away from their screens or get detached from their phones long enough or really even care about it. So I'd be curious to know what Patrick and everybody else thought about why do we have such a respected person telling us these things? It's hardly, people hardly even blink.
What do you think, Smitty?
I think that they just have somewhat thrown up this ideology that, you know, I'll be honest, I'm just going to say it, that people that have any aptitude toward alien life forms are crazy. I mean, and to, even if they are a Stanford scientist or anything else, but every person that's ever done anything scientifically at that time were generally considered a little bit mad. You know, if you go back and you look at all history, somebody that's created something has been someone that has often been ridiculed, at least it for that period of time. And I think, really, ancient aliens, I find, personally, the early American history sightings way more interesting for me, because you can look at Jamestown and the one diary they describe seeing something for a long distance of time. And after that, especially the written words, you know, these people are writing all this stuff down, which words are power, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, well, you're right about people who have been involved in the UFO community in the past being made out to be crazies. They've certainly, somebody has done a really good job of making that the result of people coming out to disclose information. I think there are lots of people that maybe that's even their full-time job, is to make us all look like monsters. However, Diana Pasulka talks a lot in American Cosmic about the power of entertainment and how entertainment, when it is out there, has an actual physical effect on our bodies, which then has an effect on our brains in terms of how we see the world. And the more that we talk about aliens and the more that we talk about UFOs and the more that we see them, the more we all as society begin to believe that it's real and that it's possible. We all have shows about things like UFOs and aliens and Bigfoot, what have you. She talked a lot about it, and now she has even more people talking. Have we seen a trend at all since Diana Pasulka came out with these books and went on the Joe Rogan podcast where more people are talking about it and normalizing the conversation. Do we think that trend is happening? I'll ask you, Patrick, since you put a show out every day.
That's a good question. That timeline's probably too short, but I get your point. Overall, people are definitely talking about this topic more. There's no question. So I think when people like Diana Pasulka get involved and write books, and right, she's got a show coming out from the Game of Thrones producers, right, based on these stories, as well coming out. Chris Bledsoe, UFO of God, he's got something coming out based on his book. So I think you've got Three Body Problem. You know, I think it's the number one show on Netflix. I think it's just becoming. The stigma is there, but kind of like it's not doing well. It's sick. The stigma is sick because it's like most people are cool to talk about it. Most people are interested to talk about it. They want to know more. They want to dig in more. How does it relate to my religion? They're able to have those conversations like Smitty was talking about, how that could conflict with you. More people are willing to have those conversations. In fact, you're seeing religion and spirituality become part of the conversation, whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, and having her go on such a platform as Joe Rogan, even though the Joe Rogan platform has dropped a few notches, is the impact that it used to have. It still has a major impact, you know, across the globe. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely furthers the conversation, gets people talking. But to Tim's point earlier, like, how is her going on that trip to the secret crash, like, not bigger news, you know? And I would say just...
Mm-hmm.
Because it sounds crazy. It sounds like it sounds unfathomable. I think they went. The bigger question is the site what they say it is? If that makes sense. I think the trip happened. All this stuff happened. And I think Diana is very careful to say that as well, right? She doesn't know. She's like, I don't know.
She doesn't know. So. And that's why this story is not bigger, I think. Because even in telling her truth, she does have to say, I don't know if they were... If I was a pawn in their game, were they trying to make me believe in something that wasn't real? Were they placing things there? Here's what happened. Here's the truth as I know it. I can't tell you much more than that. So maybe that's why it's not a bigger deal. But there were some big players in this event. So let's dive into those. And we will get into the Tyler G in a moment. You mentioned Chris Bledsoe. Let's start with Gary Nolan. Tim, what do you make of Gary Nolan and his friendship with Diana Pasulka?
Well, to follow up on what Patrick said, and by the way, we're so pleased to have Patrick from The Vetted Podcast with us tonight. Please check him out on YouTube at Vetted Podcast. An amazing show. I love it. Comes out a new episode every day, so check it out. Please subscribe to everything he's got going on over there. But to follow up on what he just said, you know, there's some danger in this success as well. There's some danger in this newfound relatability that everybody has with it. And that danger is, you know, the success. That now Diana Pasulka, because her story really was, you know, wild. It was very movie-like. I mean, now it is a new TV show, right? How successful would her book have been if it was only a recounting of, you know, the literature of alien and UFO encounters from the literature as a true, you know, she points out her book is published on Oxford. It's an academic book, right? But it's a little bit of a stretch when you start getting into your own personal account for which there is no proof of, not exactly, right? And when you're talking about digging up UFO parts in the desert, it begins to be a little bit of a stretch. Is it an academic book? Is it fiction? Is it? And by the way, Patrick, she told us that her new television series is going to be fictionalized. It's going to be a fictionalized television show based on American Cosmic and Encounter. So I think there's some danger here with this success, you know, that there could be the push to create even more outlandish stories and tales and situations. Yeah. I found something on Twitter. This is a great example. Talking about media and Gary Nolan, though. This is from Twitter today, courtesy of Uplifting Tweets. Throwback to when Dr. Gary Nolan was cast to play the lead in Legends of the Fall, but due to scheduling conflicts, he had to be replaced by some schlep named Brad Pitt. So this is exactly what I'm talking about. The folks involved in these stories, you know, they're literally like superstars now. They're like movie stars from a very popular thing, and Gary Nolan is no exception. Now, I have been told, I got told by somebody in Roswell that they know for a fact that Gary Nolan and Jacques Vallée are researching and experimenting on UFO parts. Now, whether
Diana
that's true or not,
told us that too.
And Diana Pasulka mentioned that as well, that, that Gary Nolan is doing some disturbing research. So,
disturbing? That's what, who said that? Diana used that word? Disturbing research?
Disturbing, yes. Disturbing. Diana used that word, yes.
Interesting. What does that mean, right? What does that mean? Disturbing research. Like, that sounds like Island of Dr. Moreau. I don't know. I get scared hearing that.
You know, he's a very interesting character. One thing she did say, and I think she meant, I think she had more on the back of her mind, but we kind of already knew about part of it. She said, hey, he's looking for a way to turn for people to be able to say no to alien encounters or the UFO phenomenon. He's looking for basically a magic pill or some way for people to just shut it off, stop it. Like, he wasn't able to do that.
Wait, what? Who said that? Who said that? Diane?
Yeah.
Really? In y'all's interview?
Yeah.
That was Diana. Yep. They talked about that with you.
Last year? Oh, man. I need to, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
But I believe she talked, yeah, I believe she talked about that in American Cosmic, too, though.
Oh, okay.
Which is why I get the feeling that she is aware of even more disturbing aspects.
Oh, for sure. Well, let's be real, right? Of course. What does she really not say on the podcast? Or
right.
Let's be real. After a bottle of Riesling behind closed doors, right? She's,
yeah,
she's
yeah.
Spilled the beans. That's the conversation I want to be at. Right.
Well, I mean, she lives right down the road from
really?
Us. Really? Yeah. CJ, she works for UNCW. University of North Carolina, Wilmington. CJ used to live
wow.
in Wilmington. It's just literally right down the road. And you brought up Chris Bledsoe. He's also right mm-hmm. down the road.
Oh, really?
And he ties into, yes, in Fayetteville, which the locals call Fayetnam.
Chris, if you're watching, I have tried several times to reach out to you.
Yes, she has.
Come on, Chris.
CJ's reaching out. What are you waiting on? We just want to go have coffee with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, for sure, right?
Even,
yeah.
We don't even have to totally. Necessarily go out on his property and off the record, too, because we really want to ask him some questions because he seems to be an integral part of this story as well.
100%. 100%.
He does. Let's dive into that. Let's dive into the Chris Bledsoe part here. How are they connected, Patrick, in all of your research that you've done? What's the Chris Bledsoe, Tyler D., Diana Pasulka connection?
To be continued.
Hey, Unexplained Ones. Are you ready for your next adventure? Then look no further than UFO Watchtower in Hooper, Colorado. Experience the wonder of the cosmos with guided tours, skywatching events, and firsthand accounts of their over 300 UFO sightings. Whether you're a seasoned ufologist or just curious, the UFO Watchtower welcomes you to explore the mysteries of the universe. They are currently open on weekends for tours or during the week for camping. Give them a call at 719-378-2296 to book your trip today.
Thanks. Like. Share. Follow. Comment. Subscribe. Support. What's your hot take on Travis Taylor?
I've got an exclusive for you guys if you
okay.
want it about
yes,
the Alaska.
We do.
Okay, okay.
All things unexplained.
So some of that I think Sir will save for closed session.